Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Hello. Good morning. Before you sit down, obviously that Thanksgiving card, the last one about Germany beating England, not even God's going to answer that one. Because every time God has ever spoken to me, it has always been in English. So God is English, and the rest of the world's just got to catch up. So heaven is on our side this afternoon, is he not? Is it not? Anyway, take a seat. Brilliant. All right, the football's later, mate. All right, you can... Great. Just before I get into this, that is the study edition of The Truth. Or at least the hardback version, anyway. This is an absolute bargain at £12. The leather version is going to be here in a week or two. And if you pre-order it, you can get it for 25 quid, which is, again, a bit of a bargain. We ordered 500 of the leather ones, and we've already sold well over half of them pre-order-wise. So if you want to get one this side of the summer, then you need to order it so that you'll actually get one if you want a leather version. So this is brilliant. Been flicking through some of this. There's loads and loads in here that is going to really help you get into the Word in a totally fresh way. Not just this version, but whatever version other versions you read as well. It's going to help you just get stuck into a whole new depth of the Word. And we're going to look at that this morning. But I want to, over the next few Sundays, we're going to go on a bit of a journey together. And a few weeks ago when I last kind of spoke, I shared some things about some of the scriptures God's been saying to us and reminding us of what God has been saying and doing over the previous weeks, and kind of shared that there's some things that I really had in my heart, in my spirit, that God has been talking to me about that wanted to kind of roll out over a few weeks in a row. So for the next three or four Sundays, I'm going to be doing the speaking, but I really believe that we need to roll out a bit of a journey that God wants to take us on in the next few weeks to really apply everything that God has been saying to us as a church. One of the things about an apostolic church is that they teach, train, and equip the people to be effective in their Christian life and to be effective in applying the word, the truth, the gospel in our own lives, but also how to apply that in the everyday situations of life and ultimately to see other people's lives influenced, transformed, changed as a result of that. And so we're going to look at a number of different things over the next few weeks, but they're all going to link together. And this morning we're going to kind of just start with really looking at what is the word that you're living with and therefore living by? What is the word that you're living with and therefore living by? Next week we're going to look at what does it mean to be a builder in terms of God's kingdom purposes? Are you a builder or are you a holidaymaker? And we're going to look at those two things. And really, over the next few weeks, that kind of phrase, being a builder or a holidaymaker, is going to help every one of us really not just understand, because I don't want to speak to your mind this morning. I want to speak right into your spirit, okay? If God speaks right into your spirit, you're going to have revelation, and then your mind's going to catch up with the revelation that God gives you, okay? I don't want to just speak and share a little bit and we read a few scriptures and maybe one or two stories or whatever and you go, yeah, that was cool, I'd love to do that. But actually, I believe God wants to really speak right into your spirit so that something is activated in a fresh way, in a more dynamic way than it has been already in relation to what God has been saying and doing. So this overarching thing, builder, holidaymaker, is going to kind of overarch the next few weeks. But we're going to launch today into the what are you living with, what are you living by. In a few weeks' time, we're going to look at moving from being a son to a father. Paul said to Timothy, you know, you've got many sons, and that's great, but you don't have many spiritual fathers. Or he was talking to the Corinthians, actually, and he was going to send Timothy there to go and sort them out. But he said, you know, you don't have many, you have many sons, but you don't have many spiritual fathers. And if we're going to see the harvest, the full harvest that God is talking about, then as a church, we are sons of God, but also we've got to become fathers. Now, that's not exclusive to blokes for the minute. It's spiritual fathers that God wants every person, according to his word, the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, to reproduce the life that is in you in others. And that's a biblical pattern that God has set in place right the way through, from the beginning of Genesis right to the end of Revelation, that as believers, we reproduce the life of who God is in us. And we're going to look at what does it mean to move from being a follower to a disciple and all of those kind of things in the next few weeks. So we want to put some tools in your hands, but over the next 12 to 15 months, we want to, as a leadership, be a lot more thorough and a lot more effective in how we train and equip you as a body, all of us as a church, not just the leadership, but there's other people in the body here that are in certain influential places in business or in other aspects of life that can train and equip us as a body to be effective in seeing God's kingdom extended and God's kingdom purposes released in an even greater way than we're beginning to see at this time. Anybody alive this morning? Okay, so let's just get into the word this morning. I just want to give you a quick couple of parallels between a builder and a holidaymaker just to set the tone. We'll go into that a lot more next week. And when we go into it next week, I think you'll realize, wow, I want to be a builder. I do not want to be a holidaymaker. How many of you like going on holiday? Yep, I love going on holidays. It's brilliant. And you switch off for a few weeks. But all of us love to go on holiday, but you can't live life like that. And let's just parallel for a minute a couple of things before we get into what we're going to look at this morning. The difference between a builder, just the basic mentality, first of all. We're going to go into a lot more detail next week. But basically, a builder looks long-term, a holidaymaker looks short-term. A builder is thinking about the long-term effect of the project that he's doing. He's thinking ahead, and he's got to have plans. He's got to make sure that what he's going to set in place, everybody's going to be involved, needs to understand their part in building whatever they're going to build. A holidaymaker basically just makes their plans up as they go because they're on holiday. I don't want plans. I'm on holiday. I don't want a schedule. I'm on holiday. How many of you love it on holiday? There is no schedule. I love it. My life is a schedule. You know, but it's great to go on holiday because you don't have to be up by a certain time. You don't have to have meetings at a certain time. You don't have to prepare any work and get things ready for a meeting with this, that and the other. You just get up and you're like, well, what should we do today? I don't know. What time should we have breakfast? Well, I don't know. When should we have lunch? Well, I don't know. What should we do? Well, I don't know. And it's like, should we go to the beach? Yeah, let's go to the beach. Should we go now? Well, let's go whenever we're ready. Don't you love that? How many of you love that kind of just for a few weeks where you can just, come on, just at least if you don't agree with me, just go with me and enjoy the moment of holiday, all right? The sun's out, the sun's shining, you've saved up money over the year, you've got some money to spend. So it's less about, well, we're not going to do this month because we need to budget a bit more. You're on holiday, let's go out for a meal. Yeah, let's just go out for a meal. We got the money, who cares? It's a bit like that, isn't it? Just say yes, even if it's not, all right? Because that's what holiday is supposed to be like. So just pretend you're loaded. You've got loads of money and you're on holiday for a moment. Just the mentality that there is on holiday. You go to bed whenever, you get up whenever, you eat whenever, you do whatever, whenever you want to do, whenever. Because you're on holiday. But how many of you know you can't live life like that every day? How many of you would like to live like that every day? Yeah, a lot of us. But you can't. And so a builder thinks long term. So he's got plans. He's got a blueprint. He knows what he wants to build. But everybody who's going to be involved needs to know what their part is. When something is built and it's finished, everybody looks and say, well, I was part of that. That looks brilliant, doesn't it? Well, it should look brilliant anyway. And, you know, even with the hub back there, you know, if you haven't been involved practically, you might have given financially. And when you walk into the place and you can say, wow, look, this is great. Look what God has done. But, you know, at the same time, you've been part of it. because God has done something in you. You might have sown some finance and you've seen God supply back and you think, wow, you know, I sowed 50 quid and somehow God provided another few hundred quid back or something. Then I sowed a bit more or whatever. You might have helped out, do something to help it happen in a practical way. And so you feel like I'm part of helping to build something, help to achieve something, make something happen. What does a builder do as well as having plans? He has to find the right ground, first of all, because he knows he's got to find the right plot, the right space for whatever he's going to build to actually be built on that particular bit of land. And then he begins to dig, dig foundations, begins to establish what that building is going to be. Why? Because he's working to a plan. He's working to some direction. Everybody else that's with him, he's the builder in charge, is explaining who he needs when and what he needs when and how they're going to work together, how they're going to get to their end goal, which is to complete this construction, this house or whatever it is, so that it's going to be there for a long time, for the future. Whereas a holidaymaker, they're not particularly looking for plans, they're not looking for the right ground to build anything, because they're on holiday, they're just looking for somewhere to stay. Somewhere where they can just kip at night because they're going to be out all day having a great time. The other thing about a builder, he's got responsibilities. A holidaymaker doesn't have any. A builder has responsibilities because he's got to build this thing. He's got to make sure it sticks to time, to budget, and it's got to be what it's going to be. He can't just invite everybody from a carpenter to a plasterer to a brickie to an electrician to a plumber, and he just says, lads, we're going to build a house, do what you like. Put the taps where you want, put the lights where you want, put the walls where you want, put the plaster where you want, put the floor. You just, there's the space. You go and have a great time for the next 2 months, and let's see what it looks like at the end. You know, all of us think, well, that's nuts. Of course, it's not going to work. But sometimes we can live our lives like that. The builder knows he's got responsibility, so he's going to think through stuff. He's going to plan through stuff. He's going to work with people. He needs to have people on board because he knows if this thing is going to be what it's supposed to be, he's got to take responsibility for what it's going to look like. Whereas the holidaymaker, he doesn't want any responsibility. There's no ownership of being on holiday because I'm paying to be staying in this hotel and it better be what I want it to be. Otherwise, I'm going to let you know. So a holidaymaker says, I've paid for it. I'm owed what I've paid for. So make sure it's as good as it's supposed to be. Because the holidaymaker doesn't care whether they built the thing or not, whether the pool's over there or over there. They don't care, you know, what time dinner is. It just better be ready when I want it to be ready. Because there's no ownership. I'm just spending time, spending my money, and just using the time that I've got to have a great time. Whereas a builder is like, I'm not spending money, I'm investing it. So I'm investing in what I'm building because there's a long-term project that is going on. So if we can just start there for a moment and just have kind of building mentality or holiday mentality. And let's just begin to look at some things this morning that I believe God wants to say to kind of just kick off what we need to look at. So if you want to turn initially just to John chapter 16. We're going to have a quick look there. Actually, we'll go there in a minute. Let's have a look at Psalm 119, first of all. That's in the other part of the Bible, the Old Testament. Psalm 119. Okay, just before we get into the Word, just want to say a couple of things. God is the Word, or Jesus is the Word, okay? Jesus is the light, so His Word is light. God only works with His Word. God doesn't work with your emotions. God doesn't work with our circumstances. God doesn't work with our opinions. What He does is He works with His Word. His Holy Spirit will only work with the Word. In John 16, which we'll look at in a minute, The word says there that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. So the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will only guide us and lead us into the truth. And so God will only work with his word. Okay, and so the question for every one of us, and I think this is why over the last few weeks, as we've been, God has been highlighting even more about singing and singing over our personal lives and situations, singing over other people's lives. What are we actually singing? The only thing you can sing is the word that you're living with and the word that you're living by. Because God's only going to work with his word. See, Chad came up and shared some things in the middle of the worship there. And what does God do? He speaks life where there isn't any life. He speaks healing where there's sickness. He speaks the answer or the solution into the situation to change it, to become it, so it comes into line with what his word is, with what his truth is, or with what his will is for a situation. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word. And so if God speaks to you, faith gets triggered in you. What does that do? It releases a confidence. It releases a boldness. It releases a strength in you to hit something head on, because you're not coming with your own strength or your own answer, your own opinion, your own thoughts, your own understanding. You're coming with a word from heaven that God has released into your spirit, and the word has come alive. You've begun to work with a word that God has been speaking to you and putting on the inside of you. And so you're now working with that word that God has spoken to you, that he wants to work with on the inside of you. You see, if you've got opinions about things, that's all right on one level, but they've got to be submitted to what the word is. And we've heard before, God is actually not interested in our opinions. So, you know, our opinion of whether England are going to win or not, okay, it's great. We can enjoy a bit of sport, and we always seem to chew our nails off watching England play football. But actually, in terms of God's eternal purposes, does it matter if England win today or not? What's your opinion? But as far as God's word's concerned, really God doesn't give a rip whether England win or not today, or Germany, or anybody else in this World Cup. Because what God is doing, he's unfolding the plan and the purpose of his word. And he's out to fulfill his word. Let's just have a quick look at Psalm 119, verse 113. And the unfolding or the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. May your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your commands, or your ways, or your word. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your word is not obeyed. What God does, he speaks to you his word so that he has a substance to work with on the inside of you. What does it say in Hebrews 11 verse 1? Anybody know that verse? Faith is the substance of things hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, okay, then when God speaks, he puts a substance on the inside of you. Now, sometimes the substance that we can work with is either emotion, or it's a circumstance, or it could be fear, or it could be something going on that we are trying to work with on the inside. But what God says is, no, what I want to do, I want to put a substance on the inside of you so that that is what is actually working on the inside. So that you're not working according to your emotions. You're not working according to a circumstance and how are you going to sort it out with reasoning. You're not trying to work out, how am I going to deal with this fear? But let me speak to you right into the middle of the situation, because I want to work with my word in you, not the emotion going on inside of you. If you work with the word, with the substance of what I say and put into your spirit, then your emotions are going to come into line with that word, with that substance. If you begin to work with the word that I'm speaking to you at this moment, then the circumstances will have to change to line up with the substance of what I'm working in you. Why? Because God works with his word. That's why we need the word. Otherwise, we tackle everything with our own opinions, our own reason, our own understanding, or our own abilities. So God gives us his word to enable us to have victory, enable us to receive something from him, to receive healing or whatever it is, to overcome fear, to overcome doubt, to overcome intimidation, whatever it might be, that God speaks the substance of his word in us so that we know not just what to live by in terms of our thoughts and how we feel on the inside, but to know how to step forward. What does the word say in Psalm 119, verse 105? It says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my... So what is God's word? What are you living with and what are you living by? Now we know the word, this is the word to us. So at any point, in one sense, you can read the word, it's all truth, it's all now. Because God's word is eternal. So it's all living, it's all active, it's all alive, you know. And as you read the word, the Holy Spirit can ping, you know, make something come alive on the inside of you. But there is a rhema word that God wants to speak into your life so that you know this is what I'm living with at this time. This is what I'm believing at this time. These are the choices that I'm making at this time because God is speaking to me about this. And so therefore I'm lining everything up in relation to that word. You see, if you don't have a word that you're living with or living by, when opposition comes, what shield are you going to hold up and what sword are you going to use? In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. It talks about the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. You see, if you don't have a word that you're living with, the devil, the enemy, is going to have an absolute field day in your life. See, where's the battle in the natural? It's there. Where's the victory? It's in your spirit. So what does God do? He speaks his word into your spirit. God doesn't speak his word into your mind. He speaks his word into your spirit so that you have something to work with. Then your mind is transformed or renewed because you've had revelation in your spirit from the word. So what happens when you have revelation in your spirit? Your mind goes, oh, right. That, right, I've got it now. I've got it. In your mind, just going, I don't get it, I don't get it, I don't get it. But then the Holy Spirit speaks right into your spirit with a word, one word, one sentence from God. Your spirit goes, yes. Your mind goes, oh, I've got it, right. And then your thinking changes, your speech changes, your action changes because you have a revelation. You now have something to work with on the inside of you. So when opposition comes, when circumstances don't line up, when something's going tough, somebody's coming against you, fear's trying to grip you, your body might be have some kind of physical sickness, symptom in some way, what is the word that you're living by that holds that shield of faith up that quenches the enemy's lies saying, you're sick, you're going to die, or that you're never going to, you know, the situation at work where you're never going to get it sorted because your boss hates you. You're going to get persecuted even more because if you stand up and about being a Christian, you know, you're going to have the mickey taken even more. What's the shield of faith that's going to deal with all of that lot? But then also, what's the word that you're taking hold of, like a double-edged sword it talks about, that double-edged sword of God's word? What sword are you holding up that actually is right? This is what God has spoken to me, so this is what I'm using in this situation to speak something different than the circumstances look like. What is the sword that you're holding up that actually goes right into the heart of the enemy, puts it in, turns it and says, well, I speak death to that lie because I'm coming with a promise from God. Amen. The power of the word is important. Five quick things, okay? Covenant is made with words. Covenant is made with words. Actions then follow that covenant that has been made. What is a covenant? Covenant is a binding agreement. Covenant is saying, I'll lay my life down for you. And the other person says, I'll lay my life down for you. I'll serve you. I'll serve you. I'll give to you. I'll give to you. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll stand with you. Well, I'll stand with you. Covenant is a binding agreement. It's a relationship that cannot be broken by anything on earth. principalities or powers or whatever. And so, but covenant is made with words. But then it's also then followed with actions. Let's have a look. Promises are made with words. We know they can be broken, but a promise is kept. How? By actions that follow that promise. What's another thing? Decrees are made with words. You see, there is an awesome eternal power in the Word of God. See, God makes decrees over your life and my life. That's why the singing at this time is so important in your life and my life, but connected with seeing other people's lives change and transformed. We're seeing circumstances change. For whatever reason, God is saying, sing. When you sing, when you rejoice, what are you doing? You're exalting His name and His word above the situation. When you exalt His name and His word above the situation, what does that do? You're declaring that He is greater than the circumstance. He is greater than the need. That He is more than the problem or the situation. So you're saying, I'm making a decision now. I'm activating my faith to exalt Your name because Your name is higher than every other name. And I'm choosing to declare Your word because Your word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, between every thought and attitude of the heart. Your word is powerful. Therefore, I choose to exalt Your word and what You say over what reason I might have or what the circumstances are shouting at me or what everybody else is saying should be happening. No, because I'm coming with something that I've got from You. Therefore, something will change. So decrees are made with words. Creation came into being through words. God did not have a magic wand. He wasn't like, ping, over there somewhere and the mountains appeared. He said, let there be. When God says, let there be, it is going to be. But how many of you know that if He gives you something, if He gives you a word to live with and to live by, then when you say, let there be, guess what? Something has to happen. Something has to happen. See, what are we talking about? We're talking about being builders this morning. Builders of God's kingdom, builders of God's purposes. We know that Jesus builds the church, but we're builders, you know, in the church. Every person in this room is a building block in the life of the church. So we're builders. We're building to a pattern. We're building to a plan. God is giving us that pattern. God is working out that plan. He's the master builder. But every one of us is a builder. You might be a carpenter. You might be a bricky. You might be a plumber. You might be a roofer. You might be a decorator. You might, whatever you are, using that phrase, you know, within the church. I don't physically mean those actual jobs. But whatever you are in terms of gifting, in terms of your place in the body, you're a builder. You're part of the project, if you like. You're part of the plan. You're part of the purpose. You're part of fulfilling the end term goal of what God is doing, which is to see His kingdom built and established on earth as it is in heaven. That's a pretty good job to have, isn't it? It's going to take us a lifetime to see it happen. And the last thing here, faith comes through words. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word. So words are powerful. God's word releases so much life that we want to be life givers, not life takers. You know, when we watch the football later, if you're going to watch the football, it's very easy when you're watching England, not necessarily to speak life all the time. Silly example, but you understand, yeah? Here's a situation where we'll probably be 1-0 up until the 89th minute and then the Germans will equalise or something like that, you know? England always do that, don't they? Like the other night, they should have Müllered whoever they played the other night, about 10-0. But it was that 1-0 thing and they could have given a goal away at the end. And inside you're going, it's not all positive, is it, that's going on in there? But actually, just kind of use that, you know, but I know it's a sport and at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know, but it's an example of we want something to happen. There's a tension, there's a build-up. Sometimes they don't do exactly what they think they should do, passing it to him or passing it through to them or shooting or scoring or whatever. And we're all sitting there going, now, if I was there, I'd have scored. I mean, even I could have headed that in and all of that. Or I could have saved that. I could have just shut my eyes and put my foot there and I'd have saved. You know, because we're all brilliant at football in our heads. We're all brilliant at whatever it is, you know. And we're all experts at whatever we're watching and looking at. Because, if they just did that, it would be all right. If they just did this, it would be all right. If Chad had just done that this morning, it would have been like this. If Helena had done that, it would have been like... If Clive had just shut up and talked for a bit longer, maybe the Holy Spirit would have moved even more power. You know, we're all armchair critics, aren't we, in life? You are, anyway. I am. We all are, you know. That's what we do. We've all got an opinion. Completely gone off track there. Totally lost what I'm talking about. Let's have a look at... let's go into John for a minute then. John 16. I'll wrap up in a minute and then we can have communion. Right, John chapter 6 for a minute. John chapter 16. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. And my notes on the screen. Yeah, look at that. John 16. Okay, let's have a look at verse 12 first. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. When God speaks to you, he not only gives you something to hear... When he speaks to you, he's telling you what is yet to come. So then you know what to look for. So when the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, speaks to you and says, hey, right into the middle of this situation, I want to speak to you so that you know what is about to come and happen in this situation. That's why the word is so important, because then you've got a substance to hold on to, a substance to work with, and you know that it doesn't matter what anybody else says to try and put you off. Whatever the circumstances are saying, if you have something from God, then you know this is what's about to come. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I see. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to work in us. So this singing at the moment with the Spirit of truth, giving you revelation over it, is so, so important. It's not just singing in tongues or singing whatever you can make up. It's Father, what do you want to do in this situation? Give me some stuff from your word. I want you to ignite faith through the word, because I don't want to sing my own ability trying to get an answer. I just want to sing knowing you've spoken to me, so I'm just going to sing your answer. What is about to take place in this particular situation? Let's have a look at... Proverbs 4 for a minute. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. Let's just stop there for a moment. Why does the word say that? Because there's a lot that comes into your eye, the eye line of life, all the time. There are things that challenge us all the time that try to get us to look at life or look at things in a very natural way. What does the word say? It says, do not let out of your sight, keep them within your heart. So if God's word is the substance of what he's saying to you, he's saying keep them within your heart. What happens when pressure is on in your life? What is in your heart comes out. In the emotion of the moment, or in the tension of the moment, or in the challenge of the moment, or in the sickness of the moment, or in the fear of the moment, whatever is going on, when the pressure comes at that moment, what is it that rises and then is expressed? And that's why the word says, keep the word in sight, make sure you're looking at it, but also make sure it's in your heart, because there are going to be pressures, there are going to be challenges. But if you're looking at that word, if you're looking at what I'm saying to you, and you have it in your heart, even though sometimes it's quite difficult to get hold of that word, but you know if it's in your heart, you're going to go, right, hang on a minute, I'm not going to respond like that or say this or do that, because actually this is what God is saying. So it's just this situation trying to have a different angle than what I know God is saying to me. So then you can, what rises up out of your heart is what you have been working with. See, if you're working with something from God, something positive is still going to come out of your mouth. Even though that what you're looking at might not have changed yet or be different yet or look like you know it's going to look like, you're still speaking the answer because that's what God has shown you. That's what's about to take place. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. How many of you want to live healthy? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Bit of discipline there, especially when you're watching England. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Let your eyes look straight at what? At the word, at what God has said. Fix your eyes on what I have spoken to you. Look straight ahead at what I've said. Fix your gaze on my word. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. What does the word do? The word makes a level path. See, when there's a level path, you're a lot more confident, aren't you, in walking or even running than if it's a real rocky kind of path ahead. If it's rocky and all kinds of stuff, you don't just run without looking down. If it's really rocky and you can't run. You're having to look down to make sure you step on the right thing and you don't fall over, twist your ankle, break your leg or whatever, or damage some part of you if you fall over on a rock or whatever. But if it's level ground, you don't even look at the ground. You look into where you're going. And that's what the word does in the middle of the rocky places of life, in the middle of the challenges of life that are like, well, I'm trying to get through this, trying to step through that, trying to work this out. If God speaks right into your spirit with something of substance from his word, then that makes your path level, releases a confidence. You're saying, that's where I'm going. And somehow, in the middle of the rocky situations, you seem to be able to move more confidently through them because you're living according to something that is happening on the inside of you, not what is trying to get itself for you to live according to it in terms of circumstances. So his word makes level paths for your feet. Take only ways that are firm. Jesus is the rock. When he speaks, it puts a firm foundation in front of you. You see, this singing stuff, that God is talking about, it's about our own lives. It's about vision and direction. It's about moving forward. It's about lives being transformed, our own or others and everything. And that's why we can be so confident in singing what God is saying. We heard the story that Jane gave last week about one of the ladies in the church in Crawley, how God spoke to her about her son. He's a new creation, even though he's not living like it. Sing that over him. For 6 weeks, she sang it every day. And then he responded, got baptized. He's now moving forward with God. But she sang what she didn't see because she'd got something. The substance of what she was singing was more real than the substance of what she saw in the natural. That's why faith sees a substance of the reality of what God is saying and says that is just as real, if not more real, than the circumstances that I'm living in. Then it says here, do not swerve to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. If you're not living with something, if you're not living with a word or living by it, it's easy to go left or right because pressures come. I've got to, what do I do? Do I go left? Do I go right? The word says, no, go straight on. The word says, fix your gaze, look straight ahead. So the word doesn't say go left or go right. The word says, no, go straight ahead. But if you're not sure, what am I living with and what am I living by, then you're going to be like, well, hang on a minute, I need to go this way because circumstances look like they're telling me to do this. God doesn't direct your life according to circumstances. Don't ever make a decision in your life as a Christian and say, well, I've been praying about stuff and all the circumstances seem to be adding up to this. No, no, no. That is probably the worst thing you could ever do as a Christian. The only direction you can give is God has been speaking to me, he's been showing me this. Now, when God speaks, he can line all the circumstances up. But don't ever say, all the circumstances are all lining up, so God must be saying to me, go that way. No, the enemy can line circumstances up as well. He can make things look good. That's how he works. That's how he teases people away from God. If he was so obvious, we'd all go, well, that's obvious. The devil's an idiot. It's so obvious. Of course I'm not going to do that. Whereas the enemy is a sly little thing, and he comes in with a little thing here, little thing there. And before you know where you are, you're like, well, I just felt. All the circumstances seem to be so I just... And it's like, well, what's God said to you? Well, I don't know, but I just felt... Well, what did you feel, though? Well, it just felt good. Well, all sorts of things feel good. Supporting Arsenal feels good. But it has no eternal consequences whatsoever. So what's the substance that you're living with and living by? What's the word that God is speaking to you at this time? God's speaking to us generally as a church, corporately, about the singing stuff. There's other scriptures. One of the scriptures for me, and I went over it a few weeks ago, Psalm 144. If you want to quickly turn there, then we're going to have communion and pray together. Just spend a bit of time applying the word. Just to go over these three or four verses very quickly, this is one of the words that I'm living by at the moment. I'm speaking out and praying through over my own kids and my own family, but also over us as a church, as Kingdom Faith, you know, the wider kind of apostolic nature of Kingdom Faith. Verse 12 to 15, it says here, then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants. So I'm praying over my two lads, Joe and Toby, that they will continue to be well-nurtured plants. If you're a well-nurtured plant, what are you? You've got to be well-rooted. You've got to be deeply rooted, right? If you're going to be a well-nurtured plant, it's not that it's kept nice. But actually, the plant itself has got to be able to draw from the ground what it needs in order to nurture itself and to grow and to be healthy. So I'm praying this and speaking this over my two lads and over all the young guys in the church, that these guys will be like well-nurtured plants. That they won't just be dependent on somebody else's relationship with God, but they will be there'll be a dependency on God themselves, drawing on the things of God. The girls, my own daughter Megan, and then the younger girls, our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Wow, what an awesome verse. So I'm speaking over my own daughter that she'll be she'll have a real purity of spirit. That there'll be a beauty about her, not necessarily outward, but inward. There's a beauty because of who God is in her, but she stands firm like a pillar, that she will not be moved by any other bloke. Even though she's only 9, I'm still praying. I'm praying now for her husband. Right? And but also that as she comes into the beginnings of her teenage years in the next few years, that she's going to be like a pillar, that no bloke is going to left or to the right or whatever. The way that the society is to try and draw people, whether they're guys or girls, you know, but she's going to be like a pillar in her generation, standing strong with a purity going right through her whole being. So Jesus said, I'm in love with him. I've given my emotions to him. I've given my body to him. I'm in love with him. And at the right time, she'll have the right husband, whenever that is. But I'm praying that over all the young, the girls, the daughters, if you like, in the church, that, you know, they're like pillars in the things of God, right? But then also, what am I speaking? What am I singing? Because this is some of the words that I'm living with and living by at the moment, okay? So it's like our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Now, that's not just money. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Barns back then for them wasn't finance. It was all the different crops that they needed for all the different kinds of food they need to sustain them. And so for us, it's like, yeah, there's finance, but it's also people with different skills, different abilities, with different giftings and all of that upon their lives, that our barns, our, not just buildings, we understand the church, whether here or Crawley or wherever in the 25-mile radius, that will be full of kind of every kind of provision in terms of gifting, people skills, all of that kind of stuff. Okay? It says, our sheep will increase by thousands. Amen. Jane and me are in for that one. Anybody else? Amen. Our sheep will increase by thousands. And so over Horsham in the 25-mile radius, I'm singing thousands over this area that are part of the church. One church, many locations. Speak thousands of people. But then it also says in here, by tens of thousands in our fields, plural. So wherever there are people that are connected to Kingdom Faith around this nation or in other nations, that I'm singing tens of thousands. What am I singing? I'm singing what I don't see in the natural. But there's got to be actions to it. It's not just sing and then, well, let's see what happens. We've got to put some feet on it. And that's why, you know, the teaching, training, equipping stuff, and that's why we're going to look at some stuff in the next few weeks that helps us put some more feet on the legs of what God is saying. Just quickly, verse 14, I love this one. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. So what am I singing and praying over all of us, all of you guys at this time? That every person will be a carrier of the vision, will be somebody that has a greater capacity in the things of God. That every one of you will be growing in the things of God, being able to carry the things of God in a greater way, will have a greater capacity to work with God in terms of what he's doing. That will go beyond our own. You see, what is an oxen? An oxen isn't just there grazing and enjoying himself in the pasture. An oxen has a yoke around him and he's pulling something, plowing up the ground, creating an opportunity for somebody else to come and sow something. An oxen is carrying. He's got a, there's a power about him. There's a strength about him. But he's accomplishing a whole load of things that a bloke on his own can't do. A person can't push a plow on his own. So the oxen, but it's the power of the thing. And so I'm praying and singing over all of us a greater capacity to carry the vision and the purposes of God for us as a church. Is that all right? Do you mind if I sing that and pray that for you? Hopefully not. There will be no breaching of the walls. Awesome. Unity, oneness, arm in arm going forward. No going into captivity. Nobody backsliding. Nobody losing the plot. Nobody disappearing off somewhere. No cry of distress in our streets. Come on, that is an awesome one. No cry of distress in our streets. There's a lot of distress, isn't there, going on out there? Whether it looks like it or not on the surface, there's a lot of stuff going on. And God's saying here, no distress, no cry of distress in our streets. That's a bit of a long term one, isn't it? But then it says, blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Wow, I don't know about you. We are blessed, but I want to live in that blessing. What is that blessing? It's what we've just read. That our young people, our sons and daughters, they are well nurtured. They're pillars. They're carved to adorn a palace. Our barns are filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep are increasing by thousands, by tens of thousands. We've got a great capacity to run and carry the things of God. There's no breaching of the walls. There's unity. There's oneness. There's no backsliding. There's no people disappearing or getting duped off here, there, or wherever. There's no cry of distress in our streets. That God's saying, they're the people that are blessed. So what are you living with and what are you living by? See, what you're living with, man, it builds a strength into you. It puts a confidence on the inside of you. It makes level paths, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. And it's like, look straight ahead. Like, there can be a confidence. That's what I'm speaking. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm expecting to happen. That's what I'm looking for. Why? Because you're working with the substance, with the reality of God's word. God's word is not just, oh, hopefully something will happen. See, faith releases something in you that you receive. So once you've received something from God and faith has been triggered in you, What happens next? You might not see the answer at that moment, but biblical hope is connected with faith. Because when God has spoken, faith says, that's it, I've got it. Then hope comes into play saying, I know it's on its way. It's a certain thing. It's not, I've received something, I wonder if it will take place. Faith and hope work together, saying, I've got something from God. I know what he said. And the hope is, it's on its way. Amen. There's a confidence. It's a done deal. There's an answer and it's on its way. I've received it, but it's on its way. Sounds a bit of a conundrum. But I've received it, but I know it's on its way. And so this morning, one of the things we're going to do is we have communion together is we're going to speak some things, sing some things over our own lives. And there's some thing in terms of people getting healed, physical symptoms, emotional things, some other stuff that have been going on. As we eat and drink this morning, we're going to appropriate the word over your life. See, if you've got a symptom in your body, what do you do with it? Sometimes you can stand there and you say, well, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that and that and all of that. Great. But it's got to be with faith. Where does that come from? It comes from a word. So when I was a kid, I had eczema really badly. I've said this before. But I used to have it really, I used to have all over my arms, my legs. I used to wear bandages and everything when I was growing up. And just weeping all the time. And I'd go to bed every night, and I'd ask Jesus to heal me. And I said, please, Jesus, would you heal me? And I'd a lot of the time say to my parents, by tomorrow morning, it'll all be gone. It was just going to go overnight. And I'd wake up the next morning and pull the duvet off. And it's like, oh, still all there and everything. And I was about 12, 11 or 12, something like that, 11. And one night, went upstairs, got into bed. And I was lying there. And this whole sequence of thoughts went through my mind. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, if you like, but I put it like that. I got into bed, I lay there, and as I was lying there, this series of thoughts went through my head. And the series of thoughts went something like this. Your eczema is not yours, it's mine. When I died on the cross, I took that eczema with me, so you're healed. So you don't have it anymore. Because I've already healed you 2,000 years ago. And it was like at that moment, it was like, that's it, I haven't got it anymore. I don't even have to ask to be healed anymore because I've been healed. So from that night onwards, I never asked God after that, please would you heal me? Every night I got into bed and I said, thank you Jesus, I'm healed. I haven't got eczema anymore. I wasn't trying to convince myself either. I wasn't like, it was just, well, that's it. I'm healed. Even though the symptoms were still there at that moment, I just knew that's it, I'm healed. I don't have to ask anymore. I've received it. So I've received it by faith, but there was a hope that was on its way. And I didn't once after that thing in the morning, is it gone? Is it gone? Is it gone? And one of the things that God said to my parents when I was a kid was that when I was 14, when Clive's 14, it'll all go. They were like, why is that? And I'm like, why is that? I don't know. But that's just what he said to them when he's 14. And so for the next couple of years, between that night and the symptoms all clearing up, I was just, that's it, I'm healed. Even I went to school the next day and said to my mates, I'm healed. And they're like, yeah, right. I said, no, I'm healed. Jesus has healed me. It was a bit like, because they weren't Christians. And they could still see it was all dry and all that and horrible and everything. But I just knew that's it. Well, from the day I was 14, within a couple of months, everything, all the symptoms completely cleared up and been sorted since. You can say, well, I don't get that. You're 11 and then you're 14. What's the deal there? I don't know. I don't understand that either, really. But I think we can get so worked up with this, that and the other. But how did I know I was healed? Because God spoke to me when I was 11. It's not yours, it's mine. I've taken it. By my stripes, you're healed. Now, what was I doing for a few years running up to that? Every night when I got into bed, My parents had given me some different scriptures, and I'd go to bed every night just meditating on one of those scriptures. Because I used to be, it was like, if you've had eczema really badly, you know what it's like. If you get hot, you just start itching. If your clothes rub against the dry skin, it irritates you and all that kind of stuff. So I had to have them all bandaged up with all sorts of stuff so I couldn't get to it. And But I used to go to bed at night and just lie there in bed and just meditate on a scripture. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord, you know, whatever it might have been. Or my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And I just to lie there. And in one sense, I would say now, however many years I was just meditating like that, it just led up to that one night when I got into bed, and that night, then Jesus said to me, you're healed. Now, I can't explain why it works like that, but that's it. I don't doubt whether God heals. I haven't got a problem, you know, with healing or anything like that. We were seeing people healed then, even when I had eczema. I mean, the nuts thing was, I was at meetings with my parents and people were getting healed there and then of eczema. And I was sitting there with bandages and everything, and I wasn't like, or anything. But God has spoken, you're healed, that's it. You see, when you have a word, it doesn't matter what the circumstances say, it's a done deal. Because your confession changes. After that, I wasn't like, well, I'm healed, but one day it's going to happen. It's like, I'm healed, that's it. And God wants to speak to people this morning, as we have communion, God wants to speak to you, just, it'd be one, when I say one word, it might be a scripture, it might be a sentence. One word from God changes everything, as Chad said or sang or whatever happened this morning at one point. One word changes everything. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you for it, Jackie. Come on, mate. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes for a minute and just ask yourself this question first of all. What is the word that I'm living with and living by? See, God, it's more than what did you read in the Bible this morning. You know, I did my reading or whatever, or I read something. But God wants you to... What is the word that you're living with and living by? Because that is what gives you the strength. That's what gives you the victory. That's what enables you to overcome. That's what you can draw on when the pressure's on. That's what you come out with in conversations. That's what you pray. That's what you speak. See, what you're living with, if his word is living and active, it's alive right now. And therefore, if you're living with something, it's right at the top of your life. Because I'm living with that. I'm thinking about it. I'm speaking it. I'm praying it. I'm reading into it. I'm looking into that at the moment because God's speaking to me. It's so brilliant. There's something God is doing in my life because that's what he's speaking to me and that's what I'm living by. Just think for a moment. What are the things that you're living with and living by that God has spoken? If you think, well, crumbs, I don't know. I can't think of anything, I don't really know. But don't put yourself down and say, well, I haven't got anything. Well, God wants to speak to you and give you some things to live with and live by. Because God wants his word to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. He wants you to take confident steps in life. He wants you to confront things confidently in your life, whether it's fears or sickness or situations at work, circumstances of life, whatever they might be, to see God move. The word is the weapon in our hand that God gives us to work with, to see breakthroughs, to see victory. Because some days we feel great, and other days sometimes you don't feel good. But his word never changes. And the great thing about his word is his word says up here. His word is like up here. This is what he says. It's there. And when you're having a tough day, you just got to go, right, I'm reaching up and I'm grabbing that because actually I feel rubbish today. I feel down here or circumstantial. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to grab that word and hold on to it because that's what God has said. So my feelings make me feel down here, but God's word lifts me up to here over what I feel or over the circumstances. So I'm grabbing his word with two hands, even though I feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do it or anything. I'm still going to do it anyway. I'm going to get hold of your word, Father. This is what I'm working with, living with and everything. I get hold of it and I just pull myself up to your word right now. And as you pull yourself up on the word by speaking it and thanking God for it and seeing over it, you then find you're standing on the word then, and the circumstances are way underneath in terms of the effect they have on you.
That's right.
need healing this morning, just raise both your hands. If you need some kind of physical, emotional, mental healing in some way, just raise both your hands right now. Chad's going to sing prophetically over all of you right now. God's healing grace. He's going to sing prophetic. I want you to just to receive your healing right now. He's going to sing words of healing. And you need to receive healing. You see, what is receiving your healing? Receiving your healing is receiving what God says to you. That's how you receive your healing, through what He says. Not have the symptoms gone yet. Oh, I'm healed or not. But do you receive what He's saying to you? When you receive what He's saying, then the symptoms have to then begin to come into line with what He said. So just keep your hands, both of them, raised now. Physical, mental, emotional stuff right now. If you just begin to sing, mate. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you are with your hands raised, just begin to worship the Lord. You begin to sing and exalt Him over the circumstances as well. Every disease, every disorder, everything that purpose. We take authority now over every one of those sicknesses, every disease right now. We command you to leave people's bodies now in Jesus' name. Every blood disorder be healed. Every bone issue be healed. Every medical condition be healed right now. Skin disorders be healed. Be healed right now. Lungs, livers, kidneys, be healed right now in Jesus' name. We command that miraculous cartilage in the left knee right now to grow, to come into place. That knee should be healed right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's pelvis being healed right now. Somebody at the base of your spine, the coccyx there that you've damaged and it's caused you issues for many years. God's healing you right now. Thank you, Father, your healing grace. You can have no discomfort when you sit down any longer. You're going to be able to relax and sit in comfort and peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your awesome name. We thank you that all this is possible because of the cross. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you died willingly and you hung there and you said, I'll take the punishment of everybody's sin and pain, everybody's sickness, everything that could separate people from God. I'll take it all, Father. Place it upon me. And he cried out, it is done, it is finished. And then he gave up his spirit because he'd won the victory. Quick as possible and just get everything ready. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to do for us what was completely impossible, but you made it possible. Thank you, Jesus, that on the last night you took the bread and you said, this is my body given for you. Then you took the cup. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed for, blood that's going to be shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, every time you do this, remember me. Remember who I am, what I've done. Remember the power of the cross. That my body is given and that my blood is shed. That's why this is such an amazing meal of victory this morning. This is why we're going to celebrate as we have communion this morning. We're not going to do a quiet worship one this morning. We're going to celebrate God's goodness. If we can have the whole band up. We're going to celebrate as we eat and drink this morning. But what I want you to do from this morning, if you've got some words from God that you're living with and living by, great. Just make sure you fuel that with praise. With worship, with singing, with praying, with confessing, speaking. If you don't have anything from God yet, then take some time out in the next few days and ask God to speak to you so that you've got something to live with and live by. It's important that you're living with it because of everything we've said this morning. But we're going to have a meal of victory this morning. As you pass it on to somebody else and you give them the bread, just share, this is the victory or something. This is the victory of God's life for you this morning. This is the fullness of life. This is overcoming life, whatever you want to say. But make it an encouragement of victory as you share communion together this morning. Let's go. Let's really celebrate as we have communion today.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.